Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ferrier who takes it away for Kopitar, scores 13 seconds in. Kopitar gets the goal to get the Kings on the board. LA work it back down low again. Here's Kopitar near circle. Side to side they go in the slot. Pump back to Kopitar off the iron and in. Anze Kopitar's second of the game, and it's a power play marker.
Well, again, a lot of really good chances. We really cleaned up our entries. You know, we worked hard on that the previous 3 days, you know, getting in the zone cleaner. I mean, there's so much good stuff, and I'm going to have to sit here and be pissed off about the end of the game.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I appreciate misery business. We are in the business of misery. Mm-hmm. Hey, happy Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe.
Welp. They found a way to make me have a knot in my stomach again.
Like you were invested in a game?
Yes, I got invested in a game and I got mad after a Saber game. Which, you know, by January maybe that goes away.
Hang the banner. You care.
I care. I cared. Just furious.
Well,
I guess.
There's a
How
lot.
How do you lose?
There's a lot to say. There are a lot of people that really want to be very mad, and then there are some that might, you know, moral victory is not the right thing. I mean, they won the expected goals. They won the high-danger chances. They just didn't score. That's it.
I mean, your moral victory checklist, I think they nailed it, didn't they?
They did all of it. They had a good first period. They outshot the Kings.
It was 13-4 in the first period, I think.
And then 13-4. I said they needed to be 13-5. They did even better than that.
Yeah.
Tage looked okay, right?
He had like five amazing chances the game. He hit a post. He had a breakaway where he shot the puck from the blue line.
Yes,
weirdly.
I did think he shot from distance too many times. Whatever. And they didn't get booed at home. The power play got booed. That doesn't count. Power plays get booed all the time.
No, that counts.
No,
what
it
do
doesn't.
Mean?
No, every team gets its power play booed. Booed at
what?
Home
they didn't
by
get
the
booed
fans.
Off the ice.
Right, that's different. When I said don't get booed, I mean like don't get booed off the ice. Don't get booed because it's 4-0.
I wasn't aware of these stipulations that came with getting booed as a qualifier.
Power play doesn't count.
Power play doesn't count?
Nope. Doesn't
it
count.
It is still the same players. They're just trying a different job that they are failing at.
That's right. Booing the power play happens to the absolutely every single team in the league. I mean, getting booed at home does too.
0-11.
But
by
booing
the
power play is not the same as booing the team. I'm not saying you can't boo the team. I'm just saying, you know, in regards to the goal is to not get booed at home in your opener. Only the power play did, and I don't count that. So there you go.
Hey, they did score a special teams goal last night.
Penalty kill. Were their best chances on penalty kill?
Oh, yeah. They look more dangerous on the penalty kill. 0-for-11 to start the year on the power play.
Yeah, that's not good.
Man,
the 5-on-3 to start. I'll tell you, whatever. I don't know if people are tuning in expecting, like, rants today. Not going to get one from me. If you want to call in and rant about the Sabres, you can. We can also talk Bills and Jets. Of course, the Bills have nobody available to play for them right now.
I might have one brewing. I don't know if it'll come out. I don't know if it's going to formulate. It's like one of those, it's a tropical depression.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to formulate.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the Sabres, here's what they look like to me. They look like a team that does not have any chemistry right now. Right?
Okay.
They can't finish their chances. Guys are playing the puck to an open space. The puck's rolling on them a bit. Like, they don't look sharp. They look like a team. I don't know if it makes sense to say, like, a coaching change means guys are in slightly different spots. They look like a team that doesn't have chemistry. They look like, and this is not a compliment, the Bills receiver core working with Josh Allen. The chemistry is not there yet. He throws for Keon Coleman. It's just not where it needs to be. He throws to Mac Hollins. It's in the wrong spot a couple times. Like, the chemist, it's just, that doesn't mean it's going to get better, But I do think with the Sabres, Lindy's postgame to me was particularly on point.
Mm-hmm.
His exasperation about losing that game got a Barry chances. He referred to Samuelson's penalty as hockey suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Samuelson should get benched. He should probably go to the press box. The question is, do they feel like they have somebody good enough to play instead of him?
I mean, he's been on the third pair. He's already been demoted, right? He went from 12 months ago, was he not a top pair defenseman playing 20-plus minutes a night? He is right now on their third pair.
Yeah, and he costs them two games now? I mean, he cost them a game in Prague with a biscuit turnover.
I mean, they signed Dennis Gilbert. He's just hanging out, practicing. I mean, they couldn't put him in for a game.
Yeah.
It was a horrible penalty to take. There's, in the National Hockey League, when you are down a man with 2 minutes to play, there's like two penalties in the world they'll call. That's it.
Over the glass?
Over the glass.
Slashing.
And if you break the guy's stick, that's all you got to do.
Or high sticking, because they can, like, if there's blood.
Why is he raising his stick above his hip and swinging it down like he's wielding Thor's hammer on this guy? It just makes no sense. It was along the wall, too. It wasn't even like a play in front of the net. Such an undisciplined play. That guy was a letter, by the way.
Yes, he does. And he's under contract for 7 years.
Is it six more?
Whatever. No, I think it just started.
Seven years. $1 million. That was a bad moment.
It was.
Chemistry might be it. I last night multiple times thought they just don't have guys that are good at scoring goals.
Listen, can
They've
I tell
got,
you?
Dylan Cousins has a... I mean, there might be 10 examples of this. Dylan Cousins in the first period is all alone on a two-on-one where the defenseman takes the pass, and he's one-on-one with the goalie, and he puts it at the logo of the goalie's chest. Just he's not even close. That guy scored 35 goals 2 years ago. He's a second line center, and I'm watching like, dude, you're just not even near scoring that goal. You're 3 feet from scoring that goal. You're not even close. McLeod on a penalty shot. He's late on that move. If that's your plan, he got the goalie to do exactly what he wanted. He got Kemper to open up the five hole, and he was just completely late on when to put the backhand in. That's another one. That guy scores 12 goals a year. Like, just he's your third line center. And is there that natural finishing ability from anybody on this team? Tage is supposed to be the one that had it, and he had more chances than anybody last night. He did get robbed a couple times.
Yes, he did.
And he hit a post.
Couple of posts. You know, do you want my...
They did score a goal that was 1/1000th of a second after the whistle.
Yeah. Disappointing.
But still, how do you lose that game?
Well,
how do you lose that game?
You lose that game by... First off, I missed the first goal from Kopitar. 13 seconds into a period, you know, half the people in the building will be like, what? What do you mean it's one? Who scored?
So where were you? Were you like in the concourse? Were you in line somewhere?
Walking back to my seat.
Okay, you were on your way back?
I didn't even know. I was.
So the concourse would have maybe had a louder reaction than the arena.
I didn't even hear a reaction. I looked at the screen at a concession stand like, oh, it's 1-1.
That was Kopitar celebrating.
Yep. Kopitar.
Yeah.
Were you on your way back from getting the Dominator?
No, I did not get the Dominator. I just got regular chicken fingers, which were delicious. Part of the problem is we fully expect them to lose tomorrow to the Panthers.
Yes.
And then you're 0-4, and you are just climbing out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
If that happens, suddenly, like, it's you could say it's only four games. Didn't 95 points in an 82-game season sounded a little difficult? Right? It's like, oh, that's a challenge. That's probably the point. Now you have to be a 95-point team in a 78-game season. Which means suddenly, if they lose to Florida, like, all right, now you have to be a 100-point team the rest of the way. Your bar for what you have to clear keeps going up and up and up with every loss you have at the start of the season. So, right, Florida. Are they just going to try to fight Florida all night, by the way?
I don't know.
That game last night got to where both teams were angry at each other. That's all. Florida in two games to start the season has already been in two brawls. So I'm guessing that there's going to be a lot of extracurricular tomorrow. But what? They're going to beat the Panthers are a wagon. They're going to beat the Panthers?
If the Panthers are brawling, is this like their Stanley Cup hangover? They're still playing for the Cup. They're playing so hard that teams want to fight them. Like, easy, guys. It's October. You don't need Stanley Cup playoff intensity. It's October.
Yeah. I think they're just the Bruins now.
Okay.
Because the Bruins for 8 years were that.
Just big and mean?
Yeah, I think that's just, Florida's just the new Bruins, basically.
How's the Sabres' bottom six look? It's half snark. Another half snark. Are they tougher to play against now? I mean, the Kings didn't have much. Consider for a moment you got a team to come across the country, play its first NHL game, and you dominated them for two periods, and then Andrzej Kopitar had a natural hat trick for a victory. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of tough. I really think that what's the right takeaway? I mean, they played a good enough game. They probably deserve to win. They didn't, and here we are. That's that. That's right. We've heard that way too often. The darkest timeline, Joe, I did not. I holstered a tweet. I holstered one.
All right.
It would have been a spicy.
It
was
here
it is now. It was a spicy one. Yes, because I feel like sometimes if you say it instead of tweeting it, it's less damaging. People get less mad at you, even though it delivers the same message.
You can control the tone, though.
Tone and the follow-up. The darkest timeline, the tweet I did not send, was, I think I'm going to Google Jack Eichel highlights to remember what it's like to have a good player. But doesn't this team need that player?
I'm not going to lie. I did watch Jack Eichel rookie highlights the other day.
And what did you see? The level of player that the team needs.
Mm-hmm. Also, him wearing number 15 doesn't stir the same emotions as him wearing number 9, I discovered.
Fair. Well, he wasn't wearing like number, you didn't see any highlights of him wearing 41?
I did. preseason before that?
Preseason.
But yeah. I mean, remember the second goal of his career against Columbus?
I do.
Just
he ripped off Boone Jenner and wired one of the corner and everyone jaw dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, of course, it's ironic that it's like Diggs week, but there are some parallels for me. And the parallels are on different levels. The teams tried to convince you that getting rid of a great player was good.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't like the guy, so like it was easier to do. But getting rid of great players, it is kind of alarming, obviously, that they traded away as many good players as they are, and they still have not become good from it.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking last night about their big move of the offseason was, we thanked God, thank the heavens, they traded Matthew Savoy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, thanks. And the guy, McLeod, actually looks like a nice player. He's insanely fast. I've liked his game quite a bit.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Last night, I thought he was very good. So, like I said, like not everything's bad, but it's kind of back to the life where, boy, I really wish there was one guy here that could take over games.
Well, that's going to be a problem because...
It's not going to happen.
That is not...
It's supposed to be Dahlin, who, the good news is, on Dahlin, my review on his game last night would be, I was listening to Paul on the pregame show talking about Dahlin and how he really wasn't activated in Prague, and it was the least he's ever seen him jump in the play. And last night in the first period, he dangled between his legs twice.
Yeah.
So, I feel like he's fully healthy. The way he played in the first period was, you know, chest out, not worried about anything. So that's a good sign, I guess. But
Lindy does continue to play Owen Power the most, though. Like, he played two more minutes than I think anybody.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night, but Dahlin looked good. Other than the turnover. The breakdown of that comparable, though, that would really scare me, of course, about the Sabres is the Bills. They can get a Diggs replacement. They can get a number one wide receiver.
Right.
It's just going to take some effort.
And the Bills, of course, were insulated by having one of the best players in the league, and you get away with that.
Right.
The Sabres. What's the path to having a player that good ever again?
Oh, you can't. You don't get them. They don't come available. No. Go look at the last. Go 7 years back. Ready? List of number one centers that have become available for the league to take a swing at: Jack Eichel, John Tavares. End of list.
Yep.
Just it doesn't happen. You want to go get that guy. You better hope. Really, it's you just need.
Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, he's not a number one center, but like he's a great player that was made available.
I don't know why the Sabres do this to me, because this is not generally where I land. I do not want to ever be somebody that blames the great players. But it's hard for me last night to watch the LA Kings, in a game they stunk in, get carried by their superstar center. Number one center in the league, Anze Kopitar, scored a hat trick. And on the other end, Tage Thompson had six chances and couldn't score a goal for them. And if he's going to be a number one center in the league, You might say this is a really unfair standard to set where, okay, Kemper gets the one with the bottom of his glove. Well, I need you to be 3 centimeters. I need you to be a fraction lower on that shot because then the puck's in the back of the net. Or the one on the post, I need that to be 3 centimeters more inside because then that's in the back of the net. It's an unfair standard maybe to set for him, but if he's going to be the star of the team, I need him to do what Kopitar did last night. I need him to score goals when he has the chances. That's it. Because he's right now my only idea. I'm not getting a number one center, I don't think, if Tage Thompson isn't going to be a number one center.
Well, 2 years ago, Thompson's on that line with Tuck and Skinner, and it's one of the best lines in hockey. Skinner's gone, of course. Benson looked good. Quinn is lost.
Yeah, Quinn, I saw his expected goals forward, it was like 20%.
It's brutal.
Last night, it was like horrible.
Quinn's lost. Paterka, of course, missed the game. So the kid line is non-existent at this point.
Yeah.
You know, one goal a game in 3 games. Like, you have 3 goals on the season. Winnipeg scored 6 in their opener. Like, yeah. I got Andrzej Kopitar with as many goals in last night's game as the Sabres have on the season. And how are they scoring these goals, you know? Like, power from the point.
It was a dirty one by Tage.
Tuck on a breakaway, his own rebound.
Right. Yeah, right.
Whatever. I don't think things are any better or any worse than they have been. It's just people really could have used a boost to start the season instead of needing to be dragged there, and the Sabres are going to do it. They're going to have to drag them there. I'm going to use the terminology that Edmonton used when they were down 3-0 of the Panthers. Let's drag this team back to Edmonton. We have to drag them back to Edmonton with us, and that's what the Sabres have to do. The Sabres have to drag their fans back. Come back with us, and it's going to take a lot of wins and goals, and they don't have any of those things working for them right now. So
what is it to you to hear people already being like, yeah, season's over?
I don't think that at all. You know, the GM got booed in the introductions.
Yeah.
Not heartily booed.
But he didn't get cheered.
No, he got mixed, but enough boos. The GM getting introduced.
Yeah.
If they had introduced the Jumbotron, I'd have cheered it. The thing is spectacular.
Right? Yeah.
Here's some other reviews. The Jumbotron is nothing short of spectacular. It's massive.
Were you low enough to see like the screens underneath too?
A little bit, not fully. I could see that there were screens underneath.
Okay.
No one wants to hear about the Jumbotron or the roof. The roof works, you know.
I would hope that's my
review of the roof. I think it works. Jumbotron's great.
The mural
looks great. Party in the Plaza, like it was a full building. It was a good vibe, and it was
okay. But what about, of course, the goal song?
We can talk about that later.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. We'll file that away.
The goal song is a total miss. Okay. But, you know, we'll be nice. So, there's my review of the Sabres game. Jumbotron, spectacular team. Lindy.
You have to work to feel good about them. That's it. You have to work for it.
You do. Listening to Lindy was an exercise in listening to a coach that has done this a lot before. He talked about the game and the crucial mistakes in the moments, and the frustration was clear there. But for Lindy, I mean, the thing I liked about Lindy's post game and listening to him post game was, it wasn't, you know, we'll learn from this, we'll grow from this, we'll learn from the standard answer we've gotten from, well, a lot of coaches around here for a couple of years. It was, he remembered plays with like the specificity that Sean McVay remembers a play call.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I would have liked them to go up the wall with that on this play because we got this and this and that. He's thinking back to individual passes on a breakout and why that was wrong and why we'll go back. And to talk about, you know, our power play was bad, but we got our entries better. We worked on that for days. Mm-hmm. We worked on this for days, and now we got that better. So maybe, you know, more hashtag accountability, more time on task, and more chemistry. They look like a team that does not have chemistry. Mm-hmm. So that... they replaced their bottom six. I don't know what to say. That's the best I got. I don't have a rant.
They looked good. They played. Here's your saving grace. They played well.
They played fine.
They were the better team on the ice last night.
They played fine.
It, to me, is what makes it more frustrating that they didn't win the hockey game. Right, third period, they weren't amazing. I mean, they had 6 shots on goal. A lot of the expected stuff was about even in the third period. They smoked them in the first 2 periods, though. And to only find yourself up 1-0 is really... no 5-on-5 goals, right?
None.
No. How do you... That's you just devolve back into how are you not up by more? Because they did play so well, but they did not score a single 5-on-5 goal. That's why they were only up 1-0.
Yep.
Even, I think, at the end of the first period, didn't they pull the goalie? Because there was so little time left, so that, even that was 6-on-5. That wouldn't have counted for 5-on-5.
Yep. Well,
go beat the Panthers, and everybody will feel a lot better.
What year was it? A couple years ago, where they beat the good teams and lost to the bad teams. So, yeah, sure, go beat the Panthers.
They beat when they missed by one. Didn't they not beat the Florida Panthers?
That's right. And they might have gone like winless against Montreal or something.
Although, if I remember that game, wasn't that like a game they got rolled and Craig Anderson made like 50 saves?
I don't know. It's all blending together. 803-0550. While we're at it, let's make some rule changes to hockey.
Okay.
Anybody
change rules?
Yeah, right now. Right now.
Okay.
You should be able to pick who takes a penalty shot. Period.
Like
you
soccer.
You should be able to pick who takes a penalty shot. Like soccer.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. That's the change.
That's the new rule?
That's the rule. Yep. You haul somebody down on a breakaway.
Yeah.
The penalty is I get to pick who gets the breakaway. That should absolutely be a change the NHL makes. I know hockey will hate that because hockey's all about you get what you work for. Screw that. Send out who you want. If you want to make it very specific, let's do this. Only on the penalty kill. You haul somebody down on the penalty kill, I get to pick who I want. Because I have guys out there that are not supposed to be scoring.
Right.
They're not my guys that would be the most talented offensive players, more often than not. Hockey should change. You know me. I love to change hockey's rules. 3-2-1 point system, offer sheets, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You should be able to pick who takes a penalty shot.
All right. Yeah, they do this in every soccer league in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the guy that gets penalized. All right. Who would you pick last night, Tage?
I would have a designated guy. I would have spent all of training camp, you know, watching shootouts, and then, hey, this is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is our guy that takes our penalty shots. There you go. That's a controversial take, but
I don't even. Yeah, it's not very controversial.
It's a very easy change.
Yeah,
penalty shots get called what, twice a year?
Yeah, they're pretty right. Like, they're
it's
pretty
not exactly
rare in the first place.
A huge change. Will we see another penalty shot the rest of the year
for the Sabres?
It's kind of
sure,
like,
they'll see
it's,
one.
It's kind of like intentional grounding. When they actually call it, you're surprised. Whoa!
Yeah.
We got one.
Especially when you're shorthanded.
Yeah.
When's the last time that happened?
Yeah.
Hey, they had two shorthanded breakaways last night. Again, to the point of they looked like they were a more dangerous team 5-on-4 than, or 4-on-5 than 5-on-4. Sweet.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to join us, you can. You can offer a call on the Sabres. Jim points out, and you guys pointed this out to me, they have two goal songs.
Yes.
One for blue and gold and one for black and red.
Yes.
Both of them are straight off a Jock Jams album. And one of them is fine, and the other one is not appropriate for a goal song.
Mm-hmm.
That's my review of that, too. I'm really wrapping up the whole night here. Kickstart My Heart is played in every single arena in the entire world for puck drops and for the start of a period. And I mean, it's a great sports song. Has absolutely no business being a goal song. It's a miss. And then Blur, Song 2 by Blur, that's woohoo.
Mm.
Like, okay. That's like a period piece for the Black and Red Sabres. Fine. That's two choices.
Mm.
Absolutely no attempt at, you know, creating an identity. It's fine. Blur 2 is fine. Kickstart My Heart should change that.
If they do it right away, no one will remember.
Just claim you were doing it for the first goal at home of the year.
Yeah.
And then you were about to change it.
Right, we're kickstarting the season.
That's right. That's
now
what we're
it
doing.
Started.
Now we're going to introduce our actual goal song, which will be something else.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be Swords of a Thousand Men. It can be a song I've never heard of. I don't even care. Kickstart My Heart is an odd choice.
How about the techno music they were playing when they were introducing players last night? How about that? That's different.
Yeah.
Lindy got a big ovation.
He did.
He got a very big ovation last
he did.
Night.
803-0550. It is Buffalo Bills Football Friday, even though the Sabres played last night. Football Friday presented by Northwest Bank for What's Next. Get started at northwest.com. Had the football game last night. Niners roll over the Seahawks. The Niners are professionals at trying to give back leads. This one they held on to. There was a missed call, controversial call. The NFL admits they got wrong. Terry McCauley was on the broadcast. Good thing you have a rules analyst to tell everybody this was the wrong call, and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Friday. I'm not
what a uniform matchup, by the way, in that game.
It was very good.
The classic. The Seahawks need to go to those full-time.
Full-time.
The Niners where the all whites were also very cool, like the yep. Steve Young 90s jerseys.
We will be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. It's Football Friday, and you know, Sabres post game, first Sabres game in North America this year, a 3-1 loss to the Kings, which probably has you feeling a little sour if you were, you know, emotionally invested. You're mad, which I guess is a good sign.
I'm mad. The Sharks scored more goals last night than the Sabres have all season.
Did so. Macklin Celebrini score?
He did.
Yes, yeah, he did. Spinorama okay. off a defender's foot into the net.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sweet.
All right,
the whole league.
Yeah. All right. 803-0550 on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.